Our gospel reading today comes from Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 39. I invite you to stand for our gospel reading. Afterward, Simon, a Jewish religious leader, asked Jesus to his home for dinner. Jesus accepted the invitation. When he went to Simeon's home, he took his place at the table. In the neighborhood, there was an immoral woman of the streets, known to all to be a prostitute. When she heard that Jesus was at Simeon's house, she took an exquisite flask made of alabaster, filled it with the most expensive perfume, went right into the home of the Jewish religious leader, and in front of all the guests, she knelt at the feet of Jesus. Broken and weeping, she covered his feet with the tears that fell from her face. She kept crying and drying his feet with her long hair. Over and over, she kissed Jesus' feet. Then, as an act of worship, she opened her flask and anointed his feet with her costly perfume. When Simeon saw what was happening, he thought, "This man can't be a true prophet. If he were really a prophet, he would know what kind of sinful woman is touching him." This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. So we are in the series of At the Feet of Jesus. And during this Lenten period, as we approach this time and as we focus on Jesus and as what he's done for us, we have this crazy story. And it's early on in the Gospel of Luke, and we're not given her name. It could have been any number of people. Some suggest it might even be Mary Magdalene. It's possible. But it could have been any number of women. And this woman comes into a religious leader's house and kneels at the feet of Jesus, broken, and pours expensive perfume. Now, I could just imagine, like, being over at the Parsons, having several of you over, and while to me it's a little more difficult to imagine Jesus sitting there with some strange woman coming in. If some strange woman came in, and maybe you knew her, maybe we knew her, maybe we didn't, and just started crying at my feet, I think a lot of us would probably react like Simeon would. Be like, "Oh yeah, wait a second, if you really knew, it's that woman around the corner who does drugs. It's this woman who's an alcoholic. It's this woman who sells herself," whatever it might be. I have a hard time imagining that, but it would be a powerful scene, wouldn't it, if it was happening in our own persons. It would rock our worlds. And here this woman comes in and pours alabaster and breaks the jar. I have to ask the question, what happened before? We're not told if Jesus knew her. We're not told if it was somebody that Jesus had encountered before and maybe even touched it, maybe she had been one of Christ's followers at some point. That's a possibility. We don't know that. Maybe it was somebody completely new who Jesus had never encountered before. Some stranger has come in and hears that Jesus is there, and she comes in and out of brokenness and as an act of worship, she kneels at Jesus' feet. Drawn to the thought that it might have been somebody that Jesus had encountered before. Maybe it was somebody who had followed Jesus for a while and who had been transformed, had been healed, had been delivered. Maybe it was the woman who was similar to the woman found in John chapter 8, a woman caught in adultery, and so maybe it was, who knows? We're not really sure. But what if she had been a follower of Jesus? And then life happened and she kind of dwindled away. And she kind of thought, I'm going to go back to my old life. The reason I'm drawn to that picture is because that happens all the time here in the church. That happens to a lot of people you and I know. That happens to people that have come and we see them and they respond to Jesus and they change their life. And then, like some of us were talking this last week in prayer meeting, a dog returns to its vomit. And so maybe this woman was like that. I'm drawn to that story because it makes the story a little more real to me. We don't know the backstory. But so maybe she's walked away and then realizes, what in the world am I doing? What in the world am I doing? Why am I returning to this old life? Why? When Jesus has touched me, when Jesus has done something great, when Jesus has healed me, when Jesus has brought me new life before, and I walk away from him and act like I don't even know him and return to my own life and return to the vomit. And in that moment, she says, I've got to go be at the feet of Jesus. And so she runs and she goes into the house of a religious leader and she doesn't care about the people around her. All she wants to do is get to the feet of Jesus. We can learn from that attitude. Where all we want to do is get to the feet of Jesus and where we want to run to him and return to him and even every day come to him and run to him and be at his feet. And Simeon goes, yeah, if you knew what kind of woman this was. And Jesus goes on to describe this amazing parable. And he talks about two people. And he says, there was a master, and one person owed the master maybe $100 in today's terms. Or let's make it even a little more, $20. Carolyn, you owe me $20. Okay? And then we have Sonia. Sonia owes me $2 million.
You want my card?
Sonia, you owe me $2 million and I expect payment. Both of you are like, whoa. Carolyn's like, yeah, I'm paying for Jim's radiation. Can't you please cover my, can I be forgiven of this bill? Can you please not? And Sonia comes to me and says, my husband is struggling and Jim's having a hard time. There's no way that I can pay this $2 million. And I forgive both of those debts. And I say, you know what? You're right. Don't worry about it, Carolyn. Don't worry about it, Sonia. And Jesus makes the point that Carolyn's going to walk out and go, that was pretty easy, and just go on with life and forget about it. But Sonia's going to come up to me and just give me a big hug and just go, oh, thank you so much. You don't know what that means to me. And she's going to be extremely grateful because the debt was far above anything she could even begin to pay. Yeah. So Jesus gives us that parable and shows us that and tells us that story. And he turns to Simeon and says, why in the world, why is it that you act like you haven't been forgiven very much? It's your goodness. And he tells Simeon, he says, don't you see this woman kneeling here? She's doing for me what you didn't even bother to do. When I entered your home as a guest, you didn't think about offering me water or wash the dust off my feet, or even have a servant do it for that matter, as was the custom. Yet she came into your home and washed my feet with her many tears and then dried my feet with her hair. You didn't even welcome me into your home with the customary kiss of greeting. But she hasn't even stopped kissing my feet. You didn't take time to anoint my head and treat me as an honored guest with the fragrant oil, but she anointed my head and feet. This is why she has shown me extravagant love. But those who assume they have very little to be forgiven will love me very little. Then Jesus said to the woman at his feet, "All your sins are forgiven. All your sins are forgiven." That's why that is partly those words that make me go, this is what makes the moment so powerful and makes me wonder if it was somebody that Jesus had encountered before and then who had walked away. And then she comes back and she's coming and kneeling at his feet in sorrow and repentance and in love. And then as an act of worship, she pours expensive perfume on Jesus and pours it on her hands and hair and washes his hands, his feet. And it's that kind of devotion. And it's Jesus' response in that, "All your sins are forgiven." The power in that moment, he knows and he understands. And it's overwhelming to think about. Because we ask the question, and so many of us have been good people for so long of our lives, maybe that's the reason we don't love Jesus very much, is because we don't recognize and realize how much we needed his forgiveness. What would it look like for us to come to Jesus so broken, so blown away, and to come to him and to hear Jesus say, "All your sins are forgiven. All of them. All of them." And then Jesus says to the woman, "Your faith has given you life. Now you may leave." Hear this phrase. "And walk," footprints, "in the ways of peace." The forgiveness of God brings peace. The forgiveness of God gives us new life. There's peace from the transgression. There's peace from the guilt. There's peace from the shame. There's peace from the burdens. And so maybe, like this woman, maybe our life hasn't been what it needs to be. And maybe we need to come broken before Jesus as an act of worship. It's interesting that scriptures never says that she confesses her sins. Jesus already knew. But she comes to Jesus, sits at his feet, and she's broken, as the scripture tells us. Broken and weeping, she covered his feet with the tears, with the sorrow of who she had been become and wanted to be transformed. Shalise, come on up, sweetie. This week, Shalise has been taking some, are you okay? Go ahead and take your mask off. She's been taking some voice lessons, just getting started. And her instructor told her to start practicing this song. And knowing what I was going to preach about this week, I began to, I just was listening to her voice sing this song and the power of a child singing the song was just bringing tears. And I said, Shanice, you have to sing this song this Sunday because it goes with my sermon. It's so powerful, and hearing you sing as a child, it may not be perfect, but I want you to hear and apply these words to your life and to this woman who knelt at the feet of Jesus, beautifully broken. There's something beautiful about the innocence of a 7-year-old girl singing about scars, feeling worthless. And we know that's what you want to bring to us. And you want to help us to recognize that and realize that. And you turn to us and you say, all your sins are forgiven. And you say, now go live a life of peace. And so, Father, if there's somebody here that needs to respond to you and come to you, or somebody who has not been walking close to you, Jesus, we need your touch. And I pray that you'll help us to be at your feet in these moments as we respond to you. Thank you for your overwhelming and overpowering and amazing, amazing love. We give you thanks. You are a good God.